podcast. You can subscribe, of course, through BBC Sounds. Now, I suspect at some time or another we've all done it. Dad has done something really annoying and you've been less than respectful in front of the children. Or it could be the other way around and Dad's the one being rude about Mum. But what happens if the parents separate and the disrespect or even hatred goes further? Well, this week a group of fathers marched on Downing Street to raise awareness of what's known as parental alienation. It was cited in a case on Tuesday where an 8-year-old boy was sent by a judge to live with his father because he was picking up hateful feelings towards his dad from his mother. The parents, of course, were separated. The judge had concluded the boy was exposed to significant emotional harm. Well, Paula Roan-Adrian is a barrister who specialises in family law. Charlotte Friedman is a psychotherapist and the author of Breaking Upwards, How to Manage the Emotional Impact of Separation. Charlotte, how would you define parental alienation?
Well, I think when people separate, there's always a bit of jockeying for position in respect of the children, especially when they're young, because when you've lived with your children 24/7, it really feels quite a sort of anxious move to have your children be shared between two households. So both parents obviously would like to have the bigger share of the children. And there's a bit of bad-mouthing and belittling that goes on, and that goes on whether you're together or you're not together. Parental alienation is really a psychological manipulation without any legitimate justification. So it's a sort of creating an unwarranted fear or hostility in your child with a view to completely excluding the other parent from having a relationship with the child, and which leads to estrangement. And that's right on the other end of the spectrum of just bad-mouthing the other parent, and is very damaging.
Paula, how much is it a term that's coming up more frequently in family law?
It's definitely a term that we are learning to recognise and applying in the cases where there is an intractable dispute about contact. More and more, the clients that you have also are familiar with the term, and so will use that when they come to see you first. And so it's already a live topic just at that first meeting.
So Charlotte, how has the attitude of judges to parental alienation changed in recent years? What cases have you come across in your practice?
Well, when I was at the bar, and I left the bar 12 years ago to become a psychotherapist, parental alienation was a concept, but it wasn't really talked about as such. And I did a couple of cases where there was such huge manipulation of the children. One mother where she said that the father had effectively raped her over a number of years, which absolutely was untrue. And she told the children that in the hope that they would hate their father. In fact, it was found to be untrue. And another case which took place over a number of years where the father took the children when they separated, they were small, and he created the idea of mother being a complete monster in their minds, and they would not see their mother and they would scream when they saw her. The judge didn't remove the children in that case. I understand that things are changing a bit now, but what I see in the consulting room is adults who were children of being alienated, and they are depressed, they're anxious, they can't function, they can't form intimate relationships. It is hugely damaging.
What sort of cases have you come across in your practice?
Unfortunately, the same. It doesn't change. And you will have cases where a parent in the safety of the conference room that you're having will tell you, Paula, I don't like him and I don't want my children to like him and I don't want my children to like his new girlfriend, and I will do everything in my power to make sure they don't have a relationship. And vice versa, if it's a father that I'm representing, I will hear the same thing.
But what are the risks of it being given more weight in court rulings? How much investigation is there into claims of rape, claims of domestic violence, claims of coercive control?
There is significant investigation, and this is where, as frustrating as it is, because it takes a long time, The courts will consider allegations in depth. The courts will consider whether there is any truth behind the allegations. And if a judge finds that there is no truth, then that is the end of the matter. The allegations cannot come up again. The allegations cannot be relied upon again. And there will be a very purposeful move towards contact between the parent and the child.
How often do you think people attempt to just make it up?
I think people make it up a lot. I think that people make things up in order to hang on to the children for longer periods of time. It's when it becomes extreme, it becomes a sort of pathology and it creates a childhood trauma. I mean, it is totally abusive. When I was at the bar, judges didn't have the children removed because they said that if children were settled and secure with the alienating parent, that actually it was more disruptive and more abusive to take the children away than to keep them in that household being emotionally abused effectively.
And what about now? We heard of the boy being taken to his father's, having lived with his mother.
Well, I can only hope that this is the beginning of something new and that this Parental Alienation Awareness Day is going to actually start lifting the cloud on this and people are going to start having a conversation and take it seriously because its long-term consequences are extremely serious for psychological development.
I mean, you've talked about the long-term consequences and the people you see who are depressed and anxious. What about the little ones? How do they respond to it?
Well, the way they manage is to collude with their live-in parents' view of the other parent because that's how they survive. They're entirely dependent on that parent looking after them. So in order to manage, they have to fit in with how that parent sees the non-resident parent. It's living with a lie, effectively. It's living with a complete untruth and making it fit your world. Otherwise, you won't survive.
Paula, it's something fathers' rights groups have campaigned about for quite some time. Yes. Families Need Fathers were the ones who marched yesterday on Parental Alienation Awareness Day. How much do you reckon it is a gendered issue?
Sadly, in my experience, and that's over 20 years now, it is a gendered issue. And in my experience, it is a mother who struggles more with allowing that freedom for the child to move to wherever the father has ended up, be that on his own or in a blended family. And there may be very valid reasons, Jane, why the mother is struggling. Please let me get that across to your listeners. It may be that the mother has suffered from severe domestic abuse, be that physical or emotional. It may be that the mother has very serious concerns about the father's capacity to provide good enough care for the child. It may be the age of the child. Or it might be right at the other spectrum where the mother hates the father. And it's as simple as that.
How much would you say it's a gendered issue, Charlotte?
I think it's an interesting question. I don't quite see it in that way. I don't think it is a gendered issue. I've seen it from both sides. And I think on the sort of less severe end of the spectrum, mothers do tend to say, well, the father can have alternate weekends and not much more. And fathers don't feel that that's just and it isn't. But I think on the extreme end of the spectrum, I think it's completely non-gendered. I think it happens equally. Men alienating mothers and mothers alienating their husbands, their fathers.
How would you say it is really different from when a parent might criticise a partner in a relationship or immediately post-divorce? You know, we've all said, oh, your blooming father drives me mad. How damaging does the behaviour have to be to raise alarm?
When the child doesn't want to see the other parent, when the child has absolutely bought the narrative that they're being told, and the reality is something entirely different from what they're being fed, the reality is that the other parent isn't inadequate or isn't abusive. That's dangerous because that's pathology of lies that gets drip-fed into a child's universe.
But all of us, I suspect, have done it some time when we explode with frustration. How much should we try to hide such feelings from our children?
I'm making a distinction between criticism and saying things about, you know, dad or mum's really annoying, or he shouldn't or she shouldn't have bought you this or that. I'm making a distinction between that. That's not good. Everything impacts the child, of course, but we live in the real world. I'm talking about something which is toxic and which is pernicious and has a long-lasting impact. And that is not just about bad-mouthing or belittling. It's about saying terrible, terrible things, not letting up on that narrative at all. It's constant. There's no reconciliation. There's no resolving difference. The narrative keeps being fed until the child is genuinely scared of the other person.
It is, though, Paula, quite a nuanced concept, I think. Is there enough understanding of how wide-ranging it can be in the court?
I don't think there is, but as with anything that comes through the court system, Jane, there simply isn't...
It's Jenny.
Oh, Jenny, I do apologise.
It's all right, don't
worry. There simply isn't the time, really, for you to apply the... there isn't the time to apply the work that needs to be done. The issue needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed fast. And we have to work fast, because the longer that we leave things to rumble along, then suddenly more damage that can be done.
And the damages to the child, of course.
Absolutely. But not only to the child, but also to the warring parents as well. It's so unhealthy for the warring parents to have that level of hatred and unhappiness in their life. And you are taking that home, and it is surrounding you and surrounding the child in everything that they do.
Paula Roan, Adrian and Charlotte Freeman, thank you both very much indeed for being with us. And we would, of course, like to hear from you about this. Have you experienced it, either as the child who's now grown up or as a parent? Do let us know.
Jenny, and can I just say one last
quickly.
Thing? It was just, please, listeners, consider mediation. If you're in this kind of situation, consider mediation.
Thank you. I was talking to Paula Roan, Adrian and Charlotte Freeman.